Christ, the sustainer of the universe. In Him, all things hold together.
Welcome back to Portraits of the Magnificent Christ. This is Air Jaren. Air Jaren is produced by Global Radio Ministries and Jaren Ministries International. This podcast series on the Book of Colossians is the work of Dr. James M. Ceci.
He is the image of the invisible God. In this program, Dr. Ceci describes Portraits 6 and 7. Christ, the sustainer of the universe. And Christ, the head of the body, the church. Thus far, we have seen five portraits of our magnificent Savior. First, was the visible image of the invisible God. Second, we saw the firstborn of all creation. Then third, we saw Christ as the divine creator. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. Fourth, we observed Christ as the worship-deserving creator. For by him all things were created, all things have been created through him and for him. And in the fifth portrait, Christ, the pre-incarnate one. And he is before all things.
As we prepare to go on with our walk through the gallery of portraits of the Magnificent Christ, Pastor Ceci will review what we have seen, and then show us portraits 6 and 7. Here now is Pastor Ceci.
Well, good morning to all of you. We welcome you on this beautiful spring, feels like summer day here in beautiful Fresno, California. I want to invite you this morning, if you have your Bibles and you brought them with you this morning, to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at verses 15 through 20 together as we continue on our verse-by-verse study of this amazing epistle written from a Roman prison, written to the heart of God's people, written to you and to me as well, 2,000 years later. Suppose I were to invite you to sing with me the old chorus, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Then again, suppose that I were to ask you not just to sing it, but to do it. To look full in His wonderful face. How would you go about doing that? We don't have any actual photos of Jesus. We have no paintings of Christ that are true depictions of what He looked like. But right here in the Word of God, you and I have been given real life portrayals of the Son of God. Inspired descriptions, not man's view of what Jesus might have looked like, but what He really was like in His being, in His attributes, in His many miracles. More accurate than any painting that has ever been attempted. It's been well said that a picture is worth a thousand words, but when it comes to Christ, one word is worth a thousand mind pictures, when you really think about it. The images right here, not only in the Word of God, but specifically in the first chapter of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. So I want to invite you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. I want to invite you today to join me once again in looking full in His wonderful face. And stand with me, please, as we read this amazing passage together. From the heart of the Apostle Paul to your heart this morning. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Please be seated. Here in these powerful six verses, the Apostle Paul invites us to look at a gallery of verbal portraits of the incredible majesty of Jesus Christ. There is another way we might title this, and that's Reflections of the Beauty of Christ. But you have every right to ask this morning, in light of current events, why are we spending the time here? I mean, here we are with a world falling apart around us. Pick up a newspaper, watch a news show. Flip through the channels of your life. Talk to anybody on the street. And they'll express their concerns. A faltering economy. Death and disease still rampant. Marriages and families exploding. Lives shattered by violence and crime. And I have the audacity to ask us to take a field trip. To go to a verbal art gallery. And to look at Jesus. What in the world has that to do with current events? Everything. And to spend our time looking at Jesus himself is spot on in terms of what it can really do in our lives. If somehow by God's Spirit, and not by fanciful preaching or any amount of visual imagery on a screen above you, but by God's Spirit, He could speak to each one of us that I don't care what you're facing today. You can handle the muck and the mire that life dishes out when and only when you have a clear view of Jesus. Now that too, maybe this austere spiritual audience, you might say amen, but somebody listening by car today, somebody on radio, somebody on the internet might say, no way, Jose. No way. Is that going to solve the fact that I'm on my way to a meeting where I know I'm going to get fired? Or I'm on my way to an oncologist who's going to tell me I don't have long to live. Or I'm on my way to a confrontation in a family relationship that's not going to be pleasant. There's no way you can tell me that having a fuller view of Jesus is going to solve that. But yes, it can. Because that's what my Bible says. But even more so, it's what I've seen work in my life and the lives of many, many people. The veracity of Hebrews chapter 12, where we're challenged to run a race that God places before us with endurance, steadfastness, stick-to-itness, the Greek word hupomone that we've studied before. How do we do that? With some intestinal fortitude, with some stirring up my own drive and dogging down and hitting the pavement? Is that how? No. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. The author and the perfecter of our faith. And now our faith needs to be perfected in these troubling days. Amen? So I am going to invite you to come back to the art gallery. To our tour of the portraits of the magnificent Christ. Where we left off last week, I bring you now. So far, we've stopped first at portrait number one, Christ, the visible image of the invisible God, based on the first words of Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. And where we learn that to know Christ is to know God and all of His radiance and all of His glory and all of His being and attributes. And it set the stage for the next portrait. Number two, that Christ is the firstborn of all creation, again based on Paul's words in Galatians 1:15. And we're blessed with the knowledge that Christ is the firstborn. He's the prototokist. He's not a part of creation. He's above creation. The first place position above anything that has ever come into being. And speaking of creation, we moved on to portrait number 3, that Christ is the divine creator Himself. Based on Paul's words in verse 16, "For by Him," speaking of Christ, "all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him." Everybody say, "through Him and for Him." And that brought us to our response. The longest journey in the world, that 18 inches from our head to our heart, that gives us the so what of this. That Christ is the worship-deserving Creator. "For by Him all things were created," in verse 16. "All things have been created through Him and for Him." That God allows us to witness the power of creation so that we will confess who He is and acknowledge that kind of power that can create a universe ex nihilo from nothing is the same kind of power that can transform my life from death into life, and from life into abundant life. And we ended the first part of our reflections on the beauty of Christ at portrait number 5, Christ the pre-incarnate one, Colossians 1:17, "And He is before all things." And we realized last week that when our life seems hopeless, there is confidence in a great truth that Christ has always been and will always be there. And we can hold on to those words in the midst of the muck and the mire. "I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Those are not just fanciful words that we quote over pulpits and Sunday school lecterns. These are words that transform lives, that you can get up tomorrow morning and be reminded of. And that's as far as we got last time. And if you were not here, let me invite you to download those absolutely free. Just go to our website, campusbiblechurch.com. You can get it by CD form if you want and order at the church. Any way we can get it to you, we will get it to you. But we come now to our 6th depiction, the halfway mark in our marvelous display of the 12 portraits of the magnificent Christ. And this time I imagine us looking at a portrait of the hand of Christ holding the earth, and the earth looking so very small. And you can see by the imagery that everything's spinning. And you listen carefully in the background. You hear that old song, "He's got the whole world in His hands." Do you hear it? He's got them. You hear it? And the title reads portrait number 6, that Christ, the sustainer of the universe. Verse 17 of Colossians 1, "And in Him all things hold together." Now last time we were together, I shared about the sun as one of the smallest of the billions of stars and billions of galaxies in the universe. But I want to share some more facts. I love to do star talks, and one of the segments, if I have time, is I talk about the spinning universe. Everything's spinning. The material universe itself, countless billions of atoms consisting of countless billions of spinning electrons. And if you change the speed or slow it down or speed it up in any way, things either implode or explode. They have to be constant. Our planet Earth, tilted at 23.5 degrees precisely, spinning on an axis at 1,000 miles per hour. Right now, you and I are going 1,000 miles an hour. That's no surprise for people that know me. But change the angle, or change the speed, and we all die. Life ceases to exist as we know it. But then take this spinning Earth now, going at 1,000 miles an hour, and we're now in a solar system revolving around our sun 66,000 miles per hour. So we're going, and then we're going. But then our solar system, within our Milky Way galaxy, this spiral galaxy that's sister to Andromeda, our solar system is going 500,000 miles per hour. So we're going 1,000. Our solar, all right? And then the earth is going, 66,000 miles per hour. And then our solar system is going 500,000 miles per hour. But then our solar, guess what now? Are you ready for this? The Milky Way is traveling 3.3 million miles per hour through the universe. You know, I mean, it's just, and you change the speed of any of those things, and it either implodes or explodes. It falls apart. So here's where we are. We are a spinning speck of dust and a spinning bunch of planets and a spinning myriad of solar systems and a spinning number of galaxies spinning around a spinning universe. It could really make your head spin. I couldn't resist that. I mean, you're just going, whoa. But watch this now. Even though it's spinning, because of who Christ is, it's not spinning out of control. That's what Colossians wants you to understand. In Him, all things hold together. That He didn't just create the universe and throw it into existence as the deists used to believe. Where the deist said, you know, He created the world, threw it into existence, said, que sera, sera. What will be, will be. No. It would have been destroyed once it left His powerful grasp. But Christ is the divine glue that bonds the universe together. And that's why Hebrews, the first chapter, the third verse, speaks of Jesus. Watch this now. Who upholds all things by the word of His power. And if He lets go, things disintegrate. But He maintains this delicate balance. Then let me get even more basic. Let's talk about the human body. And I want to talk about laminins. The dictionary defines a laminin as a family of proteins that are an integral part of the structural scaffolding of basement membranes in almost every animal tissue.
What?
Laminins are the cell adhesion molecules. In other words, friends, they are the glue that holds our cells together. Ask any biologist and they'll say that without laminins, you'd fall apart. You'd explode. You'd just... centrifugal force just destroy you. But let me show you what a laminin looks like. Laying on its side, it looks like a sword. Stand it up. It looks like a cross. A cross-shaped molecule is the glue that holds us all together. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1:17. In Him, all things hold together. I was reminded of Acts chapter 17 where Paul is preaching on Mars Hill to a bunch of unbelievers, remember? And they're worshiping an unknown God. They didn't want to miss anybody. They're making statues to everybody just in case, right? And these misguided unbelievers needed to know the one true God who made the world and all things in it. And Paul says in Acts 17:28, for in Him, speaking of Christ, we live and move and have our being. Now you say, well, so what? Well, this Christ who created a universe spinning, who holds the spinning universe together, can certainly manage my spinning life. Sometimes our lives feel like they're just spinning. It's good to know when our world seems to be spinning out of control and ready to fall apart. He's there. He's got the whole world in His hands, yes. But you know what He's got? My little world in His hands as well. So come to the portrait. Stand before what the Apostle Paul says. And make your common confession, your declaration of your faith. Lord Jesus, You are Christ, the sustainer of the universe. Say that with me. Lord Jesus, You are Christ, the sustainer of the universe. You want to say it more personally? Lord Jesus, You are Christ, the one who controls the spinning whirlwind of my life and keeps it from self-destructing. Somebody say amen.
Christians must have this understanding of who Christ is. He is the living God. Jesus is the head of the church, Colossians 1:18. The church is a body, with Christ as the head, inseparable from the living body, controlling and giving direction to every part of the body, with ultimate authority over the body. Whereas the universe is the creation of Christ, created in Him, by Him, and for Him. The church is the new creation of Christ, created in Him, by Him, and for Him.
This is borne out in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And He, God the Father, put all things in subjection under His, Christ's, feet, and gave Him, Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And, in Ephesians 5, 24, the church is subject to Christ.
Furthermore, in Ephesians 5, 24, Paul states, the church is subject to Christ. The Apostle Peter is in alignment with this. In his first general letter to the church, Peter makes it clear who the head of the church is. Speaking to church leaders, he says in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, who Peter refers to as the chief shepherd. And the writer of Hebrews cautions the members of local congregations to obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. That is, to Christ, the head of the church.
Thus far, we've seen seven portraits of the magnificent Christ. With all we have heard, it's clear that Jesus Christ is truly magnificent and worthy of our praise and worship. But Pastor Cece has more in store for us next time, when he will show us portraits 8, 9, and 10.
He's the anchor that never moves, defender, you never lose, a father.
Take it all. of heaven, heaven been given the shade. Let's remember where our heads, and after this, the life will never end. So we just keep watching toward heaven, fixing our eyes over the horizon. Keep watching while waiting, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hearts are craving, 'cause heaven isn't heaven without you. See, this land is lacking.